This is Lightning Playoff Rewind.
Anthony Cirelli to center ice. Got it across the Toronto line to the left circle. Cirelli drives behind the net. Cirelli now at the right circle. Right point Chernak. Right point Cirelli. Center point Chernak. Shoots. Tipped wide left by Killorn. Even to Marner. He'll float it out to center ice. Matthews fell down and it's taken away by Hagel. Back across the Toronto line. Hagel at the left circle. Hagel put it in front. Killorn shoots, save base. Rebound point. Score! Rated point! Rated point! We're going to have a game seven! Rated point wins game six! 4-3 in overtime!
Tonight was the night, and he had that moment to give us a chance to go to game seven. So game sevens, as they say, flip a coin, you never know what's going to happen. So he gave us a chance, you know, with that big goal. So it's about wins this time of the year, and this group has proved that we don't care how it gets done. We just want to get it done. You know, that was a huge goal to give us this chance to have one more crack here.
We were just kind of in the middle of a change, so he's fresh. I think Matthews blew a tire. It was great play by Hags. He comes up with speed, but he still has to put that puck through somebody to get it to Killer, and then, you know, we just, instincts took over after that. So, you know, great for Hags. He had a great playoffs for us.
To break it all down, here's Bobby Fenton on Lightning Power Play on the iHeartRadio app.
And a happy Friday morning, coming to you live from Amalie Arena. Bobby Fenton with you here on Lightning Playoff Rewind on Lightning Power Play the morning after. A big Game 6 win took place right here last night in overtime. And the Lightning, as you heard, force a Game 7 on Saturday night. So whatever you had planned for the weekend, maybe it was a date night, maybe it was something else, whatever it is, dinner, I don't care. All that's on hold now, right? We got a 7 p.m. date with the Maple Leafs in Toronto as the Lightning will play in what will be the ninth Game 7 in the history of the franchise. They are 5-3 in the previous eight, and 2-2 in the ones on the road. And we'll get to all that later on in the show, but as of now, I was worried last night. I don't even want to say worried necessarily, but more like convinced last night that when I came in here this morning, it was going to be the last time we did Lightning Playoff Rewind. Now we know we have at least one more, but the Lightning gave a lot of people a heart attack there after getting out to another 2-0 lead like they did in Game 5. And then the game gets away from them in what seemed like the blink of an eye. In like 90 seconds all of a sudden, you're thinking, okay, we're going to cruise into the intermission here. Still got a one-goal lead, all good. Then they let Toronto tie it, and you're like, ugh, you know, you really can't do that in the last minute of a period or minute and a half, whatever it was. Bummer, but hey, okay, fine, 2-2. Then they score again, and I completely mentally lost it. I mean, I didn't physically do anything at my house, but like, I checked out, not going to lie. I was so disgusted by that display. And again, it was a less than 60-second display. But nevertheless, those two goals happened before the period. And I told my son, we were sitting there, we'd just gotten home. It was a chaotic night last night. We'll get to that in a minute, too. But I'm like, you know what? Right when that goal happened, I said, buddy, he's 10. I said, we can, you know, have a heart attack over this stuff and live and die with it. But if they're going to do that stuff, you know, don't even worry about it. Like, why get emotionally invested like that if they're going to do this stuff? And I was mad. I was, because they haven't displayed. And even though they won the game, it's 3-3 and we got a game 7. I'm a little salty this morning because I'm not there yet. Like, I'm not like, ooh, yay, we won. It's all's well. That they haven't exhibited a lot of the qualities that teams that go deep in the playoffs exhibit. Now, I'm not dumb. I've watched enough playoff hockey over the years, including the Lightning winning back-to-back Stanley Cups, to know that first of all, we've seen 6, 7, 8 seeds make runs to the Stanley Cup final, so I don't think you could classify a run by a 2-time defending champion as improbable or anything. But I'll be honest, it feels like it's improbable, like right now. It feels like, how are they doing this? Because the mistakes keep happening when they shouldn't. Now, to their credit, all right, they steeled themselves, came out in the third period, were very fortunate to get a 5-on-3, and I don't mean bad calls, they were the right calls. Two high sticks, and certainly nobody's disputing that. But nevertheless, they're fortunate that Toronto did that, basically. And then, even when you're fortunate, you got to capitalize, and they did capitalize on the 5-on-3. You're not going to score on those. John Cooper says it all the time. You're not going to score on those every time. Yeah, everybody thinks, oh, it's an automatic goal. You want to run a good power play, but even if you do, you may not score. They did. Made it 3-3. Vasilevsky made some really clutch saves to keep it 3-3 because Toronto, as they always seem to in this series, had some really good chances. And then even in overtime, I mean, there was a couple times where that – overtime's completely random. Like, everybody – you know, whatever ends up happening, one team or the other scores, everybody acts like it was, okay, that's what happened. You know, they were the better team. But honestly, that – you know, there were three or four times both teams could have scored even before the final game winner by point. So the Lightning get the goal. We go to Game 7. And all bets are off now. Now, I mean, like I tell you guys all the time, it doesn't matter how you got there. It doesn't matter who won which games. Somebody won up 3-0, then they came back and tied it. They alternated wins like they did in this series. The combination or the momentum, all that crap means nothing. It is an isolated event. It is one hockey game, and it is literally as random as it gets, okay? So I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow night. You don't either. The players themselves don't have any idea what's going to happen. But the Lightning are here, and it didn't look like they were going to be here. And as the two-time defending champion, you know, they've played so much hockey. I mean, if you think back, like I said, the bubble thing was weird because they had like a three-month break before the playoffs, but they had played a full season before that, then a deep cup run in the bubble, which even takes a little more out of you. Come back, everything's condensed the next season, and then they got to go quick. There was very few off days. Everybody had to do that, of course, but then they went and did another cup run after that, then come back this year, play a full season, and here we are again. So the Lightning have played just a lot of hockey, especially if you go back to September 2020. So we're not even talking about like 18 months they've played, like two full seasons worth of hockey spread across less than two calendar years. Nobody else has done that. And then meanwhile, you've got a Toronto team who's been out in the first round 5 years in a row who's – and they are completely – I mean, I was watching the Bally Sports broadcast. Let me tell you the story last night because it was crazy. So that cutaway to the Toronto people out in the plaza of wherever they were watching it up there. But so we had Little League last night. It was the second time in a row this has happened because we had it Tuesday. We're in the postseason tournament ourselves, and I'm not going to bore you with, you know, you don't care about my kids' Little League team. But, like, I'm the head coach of his team. I've been in playoff mode, like, mentally all week for that, you know. And I know it's only, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. I don't go nuts or anything. But I've been dialed in. It's that time of year. So we got our tournament going on postseason. We're making a run. And then we got the Lightning going on, and I've just been, you know, it's been playoff mode, right? So I'm trying to make out lineups. I'm trying to, I mean, I'm thinking about our game constantly. Then our game starts at 6:45 again, just like I said, Tuesday night. I missed the first period and a half. I'm there coaching. I'm literally coaching third base at my kid's Little League game in the middle of these tight playoff games, you know, one-run games. And I'm legit checking my phone, like Twitter refreshing, checking my Yahoo Sports score app. Oh, hey, we're up 1-0. Cool. Oh, man, we got a second one. You know, I didn't get home until we had already gotten the two-goal lead. And keep getting updates. My mom, my wife, and the stands are telling me, yeah, it was Palat, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, we're doing all this. We don't get home until, you know, late second period. And then it's bedtime. And all you guys that have kids or have had kids know. And my kids are 7 and 10. I'm in that window right now of my life where, like, every evening I have to actually do stuff for bed. Like, I can't just say go to bed. Like, so my son especially, you know, he needs his sleep, and with all these games that have been going, you know, late, and my daughter comes to the games too, so everybody's been going to bed late. It's just been, you know, it's just one of those things. The kids need to go to bed, honestly, at like 8, 8:30, 9 at the latest, and that's impossible on these nights when we have a Little League game. But then on top of that, we get home. Now the game's tight. It's not 2-0 anymore. I can't, I'm going to throw him to bed real quick here while the game's going on. That's not going to work. And I tell my wife, listen, I get it. I mean, the kids need sleep. Obviously, their health comes first. But the Lightning game was 3-3 at this point. My son's finally ready for bed. He got his shower and his teeth brushed. And there's like 8 minutes left in regulation. And, like, you want me to just go upstairs and just lay in bed with him and read to him and stuff like that? Which I like, you know, he's older now. I don't have to do that as much, but I still like to read to him. I'm like, he's going to have to wait. Like, or he can come. Obviously, if I was, like, just me, and my wife wasn't home, I would have said, bud, come on downstairs. We're going to watch the game till it's over. I don't care how long it takes. You know. So finally, I compromise, and I say, okay, I'm going to dial it up on my phone. I'm going to go lay in bed next to him so my wife thinks I'm putting him to bed. And I'm not trying to fool her. She knows. And I'm going to lay there and just put the thing on my phone. So I'm watching on my phone now on some illegal streaming site that I use because I don't, you know, have the apps or whatever you need. And so I'm watching the TBS feed. So the Lightning score the goal. My son and I are in bed. I mean, we both of us are like trying not to wake up, you know, my daughter who's already asleep in the next room. And we're like, ah, you know, like there's three or four chances in overtime even before the point goal. And we're going crazy on just a little tiny, like, you know, 6-square-inch cell phone. We're watching this playoff overtime game. And, of course, I'm explaining to him the whole thing with past overtimes for the Lightning and, you know, only the second time they faced elimination in overtime and scored to keep a series alive. The other time, you may remember, it's actually my favorite goal in Lightning history. It was Game 6 up in Calgary with Marty St. Louis in the second overtime scoring with the cup in the building, if you remember, and them slamming that case shut. I still remember ABC showing them slamming that case shut and coming back to Tampa for Game 7. It's the only other time this has happened until last night. So the Lightning get the goal. Finally, we go to bed. Although, how I mean, honestly, like, you want me to just go to sleep after that? Like, I need, you know, an hour or two to unwind. So anyway, point is, the TBS feed, if you were watching Bally Sports, you might have missed this, but the national feed, they showed immediately, like after points scored, they showed a couple seconds of celebration. Then they flipped right over to the camera they had on all the throngs of people out in Toronto, again, on whatever plaza it was they have out there. You know, I'm not sure where they were. And all these dejected Maple Leafs fans standing there just, boo. And listen, I got nothing against Toronto fans. This isn't like one of those rivalry things. I've no issue with them one way or the other. And if the Lightning don't win, I don't really care, you know, how far they go or don't go. But still, it was cool. It was cool. What is it? Not that I wallow in other people's misery unless it's a rivalry or something or unless they've already talked some junk before. But in this case, and listen, with all the baggage they have, and again, I'm not saying the players have it. I think Toronto's going to come out with one of their best games of the series on Saturday night, and the Lightning are going to have to match it. So I don't think this is some, you know, all the fans are like, here we go again. Oh, my God, this is the same story. I've seen this movie, blah, blah, blah. And I don't believe the players have that weighing on their minds nearly as much as the fan base does. But given that this franchise, I'm talking about Toronto now, has had such a string of not just first-round losses, but first-round losses when favored, has had so many chances, like you saw the stat probably last night, Toronto's 0-9 in closeout games since whatever. Every time they're ahead in a series, their record is horrible. When they're behind in a series, they're great. They know, you know, they do. And when they're even in a series, it's right around 500. But every time they have a chance to finally slam the door, they always find a way not to. And people think that because that has happened so many times before, it makes it more likely to happen again. I do not believe that. Past events do not predict future events, necessarily. Sometimes they do. In this case, I don't believe they do. And certainly this isn't a roulette wheel where reds come out 10 times in a row and you think black's coming out because it's the 11th time, although that's not true. That's what a lot of people think. This is not some completely random thing. These are human beings. These are feelings. These are athletic abilities and all these other things that go with it. But nevertheless, I still think it's closer to a random event. This is more like a roulette wheel spin than we all want to admit to ourselves. And so the Lightning had it come up their way last night. But, I mean, let me go through the Twitter timeline real quick. If you ever want to get a feel for things, you can look at my Twitter timeline. I wasn't tweeting a ton, but like I said, I was busy, first of all. But I get home from the game, okay? Hadn't said anything at all. I get home from my Little League game. That was when the Lightning gave up the two goals right before the second intermission. Here is my tweet, which I am not going to take down, which I'm leaving up here because I own everything I say. And I'll go back and rehash it myself. You don't have to throw it in my face. I typed, two cups in a row, can't get too upset, but they're not up for this, and it's someone else's turn. I said that, okay? That's how I felt. And like I told you at the top of the show, honestly, I'm not sure I still feel any different, even though they won the game. I mean, I literally can't believe they did what they did in the last 90 seconds of the second period last night. And that's twice now, okay? In a series, in any playoff hockey, but even in this series, hadn't been any lead changes. Team to score first always wins. You've had not just the first goal in two games, but 2-0 leads, okay? And you didn't close it. This one they closed technically, but they got behind. So there's actually been three lead changes now. There was the lead change the other night where they blew the lead and then lost. And then there was the lead change last night where they blew the lead. Then there was the other lead change where they took it back and won the game, to their credit, okay? But yeah, I said that. And then somebody, Busta, tweeted at me, He says, maybe, Bobby, but it ain't over yet. And I said this. I said, I don't believe it's over at all. I didn't mean the game was over. I said, it's just that their play is not indicative of a team that has a very deep future in the playoffs in general, whether they win this game here or not. That bleep that just happened is just completely unheard of. I was really upset. All right. So anyway, they come back. They get their goal in the third period, 3-3, win in overtime. Great. But it's going to have to be. I mean, the playoffs this year are different. There's more goals in general, more offense in general, more penalties being called in general. All those things add to variance. So when you get these really tight games like we are all used to, if we all grew up, you know, going back 5, 10, 15, 20 years watching hockey, in the playoffs, it wasn't like the regular season, right? Like somebody got a 2-0 lead. It was like, oh, my God, like you can stick a fork in these guys. Like even one goal felt like it was the hardest thing in the world to get. Like, oh, my God, this one goal, I would kill to get this one goal, and we just can't do it. And now it's like candy. Yeah, 2-0, no big deal. Boop, boop, boop. Now it's 3-2. You know, that's the way it is now. And I like it. I'm not complaining at all. It's good. But, you know, you have a 2-0 lead. Even in this day and age, you're supposed to close that out. Twice the Lightning either didn't or – when they eventually did, it was after all kinds of theatrics. And so, you know, I had a hard time with that. The defensive breakdowns, the turnovers. Even after the second goal, or it was Toronto's third goal, the second goal, that little flurry there at the end of the period. I mean, the Lightning, even after the turnover, nobody got back. Like, it's just like, eh. And Vasilevskiy, I talked about last 2 days ago on the show, how we haven't had a game yet where Andre Vasilevskiy just said, yeah, the other team's not winning tonight. Independent of anybody else on the ice, the other 11 guys on the ice are almost inconsequential. We've seen games like that in past playoffs, right? The Lightning have won 2 Stanley Cups for a lot of reasons. One of them is because there's been a handful of games in each of these playoff runs, and at least 1 or 2 per series, where it didn't even matter who else did anything or how well anybody played. You weren't winning that night because Vasilevskiy was going to be Vasilevskiy that night. Haven't had that game this series. Said we needed that to be the case. And he was really good for parts of last night. And listening, I was, you know, listening to Dave and Phil on the radio a little bit. Even at my house, I had it on TBL Power Play, which you're listening to right now. In the post game, and you know, right after the game, things like that. And they were raving about Vasilevskiy. And yeah, I mean, there was a few really golden chances. When you play a team like Toronto, like just because you gave up 3 goals, that's a good game. I mean, like Toronto's got a lot of firepower. You're not going to shut these guys down and just eliminate them. But nevertheless, looking at his numbers, and I will go over the hardcore stuff next segment, but his expected goals, the expected goals for Toronto last night and for what Vasilevskiy faced, expected goals against was 3.044, and he gave up 3 goals. So right on where he should have been. He didn't, you know, it's not like his expected goals against was 5 and they only scored 3. It was 3 and they scored 3. So still need more from him. And maybe Game 7's the game. But, man, I mean, that's just an X factor that you can't account for. Like, we haven't had it yet. But if he comes out in Game 7 and he's kind of like the old Vassy, and I'm not ripping him, but, I mean, there's just a level he's been at that's so high that I think it's probably unfair to expect that level to be the baseline. And yet, if that is what we get Saturday night, then, yeah, you could stick a fork in all these other. It ain't going to matter what else anybody else does. Haven't quite had that yet, but he did a good job. I mean, like I said, that game could have been over a few times over, and it wasn't. And it gave the Lightning time to go out and finally get the job done with Braden Point on the game winner and everything. But like I said, we'll go over all the numbers and things like that on the other side. If you want to get a hold of the show, I'd love to hear from you guys. You can tweet at me on Twitter, at Bobby Game Day, BobbyGameDay, at Bobby Game Day. Always love getting emails from you, too. If you have an email, comments, questions, cushion, discussion, email me. It's the same, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. I can get that on the show as well. So Game 7 has had a game time set for 7 p.m. on Saturday night. That is no surprise. We talked about that the other day as well, saying there was no way it was going to be a day game. Boston, Carolina is the early game at 4:30. And so, like I said, clear your schedules, get ready. We got plenty more to get to on today's show. We'll be right back. Jason Behringer is driving the ship, making it all go. I am Bobby Fenton, and this is Lightning Playoff Rewind here on Lightning Power Play.
This is Lightning Playoff Rewind on Lightning Power Play on the iHeartRadio app.
Back up the middle. Oh. Spezza across the blue line, left circle, open. Will feed to the left circle. Shot, score! It's in! It was Tavares who shot it. It might have been tipped. No. Mullaney couldn't get out of the period. With their lead intact, it's 2-2. The Leafs tie with 33.7 seconds left. Here he comes again. A feed to the slot. Score! Tavares! 3-2 Toronto.
Well, it's nice to have 18 minutes to take a breath. Yeah, it was really unfortunate. Last minute, just a couple detail misses, and you know Toronto capitalized on them. But really good timing for the break. And then we got our breaks. You know, when a team's going to go down 5-on-3 in a third period, they got to earn their penalties, and they earned them both, and we took advantage.
For us, we knew that finish to that period wasn't good enough, and you know we rose from that, and then in overtime was a couple of chances each way, and we made that extra play to bring it to game seven. So, you know, strong leaders in that room, we addressed what needed to be addressed and got out there and did the job.
Welcome back, Lightning Playoff Rewind here on Lightning Power Play. Bobby Fenton with you. Jason Behringer also in the house here as we move through our morning show after last night's Game 6 win. A 4-3 win for the Lightning to force a Game 7, which will take place on Saturday night at 7 o'clock in Toronto. So you heard a couple of sound clips there. First of all, you heard the two goals, 26 seconds apart in the final minute of the second period to take a 2-1 Lightning lead and turn it into a 3-2 Toronto lead before the intermission. Then you heard John Cooper talking about how it was nice to have 18 minutes to catch their breath, talking about the intermission length, because when that happened, everybody was kind of shell-shocked. And he said it was a good time for the break. I would argue that maybe 40 seconds earlier would be a good time for the break before they scored the two goals. But anyway, yeah, I mean, at least, I guess, if after that happened, it gave them time to get in there and reset. And then you heard, I believe it was Victor Hedman there at the end talking about how they rose up. And yes, they did. Another thing that Cooper said I heard just now that I thought was interesting, he said they got two penalties in the third period and they earned them both. I think he's talking about Toronto, not the Lightning. But yeah, Toronto did. I mean, they were two high sticks, not questionable ones, not iffy borderline ones, two high sticks. And yes, Toronto, those were quality, legit penalties. They earned them both, as he said, and the Lightning did capitalize on the 5-on-3. Special teams, as John Cooper's been talking about after every game in this series, have been huge in this series, okay? And not just power play goals necessarily, but just all of the special teams play. Now, last night there wasn't a ton of it. The Maple Leafs only had one power play. They were 0-for-1. Lightning were 1-for-3, of course, with the game-tying goal being the one. But Palat's goal to open the game was 4-on-4, right? On the Leafs' lone power play, the second goal of the game was Cirelli shorthanded. And then, of course, the Lightning goal on the 5-on-3. So three of the seven goals last night came on special teams. Somehow, some way. Not all necessarily power play goals. 4-on-4 goal is not a power play goal. But special teams, almost half the goals. And every game has been like that. So special teams continues to be a huge factor in this series. It's been a bigger factor in all of the playoff series because there have been more calls in these playoffs. The playoff games have basically looked more like normal regular season games than any other time that I can ever remember. And that's why goals are up. That's why all this variance is up. And it's fun. I'm not complaining about it, but it's no coincidence either that the team that was penalized the least, which I believe now is the case in all six games, the teams are 6-0, whoever was in the penalty box the least goes on to win that game. Lightning only gave up one power play chance. Toronto gave the Lightning three, and there's a lot of stats you can look at, and we'll go over them, but there you have it. So, again, I mean, you talk about things you need to clean up, quote-unquote, for Game 7, and the thing that worries me, and not even just Game 7. I mean, look, I'm not arrogant enough to think ahead too far. I mean, you want to win Game 7. You're playing in a Game 7. You're not thinking about the second round or the third round. You're not thinking, oh, well, this doesn't bode well for a cup run. You can think about a cup run when you sweep your first round series like Colorado or something. Right now, you just got to worry about Game 7. But just thinking long term, I mean, what do we all want here? Of course, we want to see him win it all every year. This season, is it as simple as cleaning some things up? They've done the same things both in the regular season and the playoffs so much. It's not like, oh, we need to clean up the amount of odd man rushes, or we need to clean up the amount of breakaways. I know that I got one email. This is from Bonnie in Tampa, and she was saying, let me pull it up here. So it was a good point. One moment. Yes, she says, about 5 minutes before the goal, I went on a rant about why we aren't cutting off their cherry pick passes, and then we finally did. We survived. Vasi was huge in OT. And, yeah, I mean, you know, Toronto, they're staying onside. That's the rules. But, yeah, they're getting us coming up the ice on the rush and picking off passes, and boom, it's going back the other way so quick. They're creating odd man rushes. They're good at it. And it's something that it's not always – I mean, a lot of times it has been a bad turnover or a lazy play. But sometimes, yeah, Toronto just, boom, they get the puck and they fire it up the ice, and there's somebody waiting at the blue line. They take it, and boom, odd man rush. But the Lightning have been allowing this to the point where I'm worried it's not, oh, we'll clean it up for Game 7. I think it's like in their DNA. It's in the 2021-2022 Lightning's DNA, like this version of the Lightning. So, again, they've won two Stanley Cups in a row. That's eight series in a row they have won across first round, second round, conference finals, and Stanley Cup finals. Twice all of those things, okay? And yet in none of those eight series have they faced as big of a challenge, in my opinion, as a first rounder right now against Toronto, at least in terms of offensive firepower. I mean, think back. Think back to all eight of the series they've won the past two seasons, okay? And I know a lot of that feels that way because the Lightning were in control the whole time, but seriously, like, was anybody capable of doing what Toronto's doing? No. Nobody scared you like that. I mean, you know, you think about the way playoffs are structured, and the NHL, of course, is wacky the way they do the seeding, but normally you think, okay, first round, then it gets a little bit tougher in the second round, then it gets even tougher, and then you get to the final round, it's like your toughest challenge yet. But no, this is a first round. This is easily a tougher team than any of the eight teams they played in these past two playoff runs. A team that's capable of more dangerous things than any of the eight teams they've played in the past couple playoff runs. You combine that with a Lightning team that's got a bit of a proclivity for giving up this stuff anyway, and you're in where you're at. But the Lightning have matched it. I mean, it's 3-3. And, you know, the Lightning can do a few things too offensively, as we know. Looking at some of the numbers in the series, and I always kind of preach not to get too wrapped up in some of the stats you hear about a lot. Like faceoffs, I've always thought, you know, I mean, certain ones, especially special teams ones, matter more than others, but people get too wrapped up in the faceoff sometimes. I think it's a bit of a thing in this series, though. I mean, Toronto has been winning the faceoff battle. Last night it was only 53% to 47%. But Toronto, I believe, has won the faceoff battle in five of the six games. And it was 60-40 the other night. Like, last night wasn't as bad. But they are consistently doing that. And, again, against a team like the Islanders or something in last year's conference final that's trying to play, you know, 1990-style hockey and win 2-1 and just clog everything up, it ain't a big deal. Who cares? Because, you know, the puck's going to go back and forth anyway. But in a series like this, with those guys, with the horses they have over there, it all adds up, this the puck possession, how many chances you're giving these guys. And so I think the faceoff thing, and that is something you can clean up, but that's, you know, been a factor in this series, I believe. But, I mean, yeah, you can't just say, okay, yeah, we're just going to do better with all those chances we're giving up. Like, at a certain point, you start to think, ooh, well, you know, maybe this is just who the Lightning are. And you can try and outrun it, you know. And again, it's one game we're down to now. But it will catch up to you. And so it almost caught up to him last night. I mean, we could very easily be sitting here doing our last show, if not for a bounce here or there or a couple big saves by Vasi. And it's a whole different story. Anyway, it doesn't matter now. It's 3-3. Game 7 is happening. And like I said, 7 o'clock start. I talked about this with Steve Versnick last week. You know, this is Toronto. This is the New York Yankees of hockey. No matter how many games are on the docket for a given day, whether they're the only one or whether there's three Game 7s on Saturday coming up, which is going to be a great day for hockey fans. But either way, like the Lightning, just by virtue of playing the Maple Leafs, we're not playing any matinee stuff. It's going to be a 7 o'clock game. Which this time, I mean, it's not, at least it's not 7:30. Again, if I didn't have kids, I wouldn't even care. But having kids, it's nice because I hate having to put kids to bed and watch a hockey game that literally the series is being decided at the same time. So that extra half hour, that, you know, moving it up helps a little bit. you know, game, if it's a regulation game, will be over before 9:30 probably. And if it goes to OT, which the Lightning have never done in a Game 7, literally, I mean, it happens. Doesn't happen that often. It almost happened when they won the Stanley Cup, when Calgary almost tied it up late. But, like, imagine, like, all their, the whole season you play 82 games. They played 7 playoff games. All those things that happen, the blood, sweat, and tears. And after all that, imagine just saying, yeah, you know what? All right, next goal wins. Yeah, that's it, like, for both teams. Next goal wins. We'll just whoever gets it. And that's the beauty of it. I love overtime so much. And I was hoping, I told you this the other day too, how I missed it. You know, the Lightning last year went to overtime 4 times, once per series, and lost all 4. They'd actually lost 5 in a row in overtime before last night's game. And yet, hockey overtime in the playoffs is unlike anything else in any sport. And hockey is the perfect sport for overtime. You've seen football struggle with all these different ways of doing overtime, and there is no perfect way. The reason they've struggled isn't because they don't have any good ideas. It's because football's a very possession-based game. It's a very physical game, and you can't just – it's just hard to do the right way, you know, without playing for too long of a time. And baseball's got its extra innings, and, you know, basketball's fine, 5 minutes, whatever. But only in hockey, where the puck is up and down the ice and possession changes all the time, and it's a very sudden game, it's a very fast-paced game. Only in hockey can you really get that true sudden-death feel. Like, hey, we're just going to play until the puck's in the back of the net. That's it. Like, it's very simple. And the concept is so simple that its beauty is its simplicity. And I missed it. Like, even though through the first 5 games I was saying, hey, I think, something's going to happen. We're going to get one of these games soon, these tight ones, because we hadn't really had that. And then Game 5 was a little bit tight, didn't go to overtime, but it was tight, and then last night it finally happened. And there's a tweet that always goes out, or I put it out. It's from a few years ago, but it's from John Bois, I believe is how you pronounce it. And I always retweet it every year when the Lightning go to overtime for the first time in that playoff series. But he says, why watch overtime playoff hockey when you can simply snort some cocaine and ride a motorcycle out of a helicopter? Because that's what it feels like. And last night, like, I was not sitting down. I was just standing up in my living room. Feels weird to sit down during overtime. And like I said, my son's upstairs, like, waiting to be put to bed. And I'm nowhere to be found. My wife is pissed at me. She's texting me from upstairs in the room, like, why aren't you upstairs putting him in bed? And, you know, I'm like, I actually texted back to her. I can read you my text back to her. Let me read you the exchange here. Because this is the real-life stuff. You come to this, okay? Yeah, I can break down numbers all day, but you come for the real-life stuff. She says, this is my wife now. This late bedtime bull bleep is bad for our children's brains. He is up in bed ready to settle down, and then when nothing happens for 2 hours, we miss the window. First of all, my son wasn't ready to settle down. He knew damn well the game was in overtime down there. He's not dumb. So I text back to her, dude, .. That's all I texted back. I'm like, come on. Like, do you honestly think I'm going to be like, whoop, we have to go to bed now? But, man, I love that. I needed that bump last night, that overtime feeling. I can't imagine if it goes to 1 for Game 7. So that was, like I said, only the 4th time, by the way, in Lightning history, they've won a game in overtime on home ice. Their overall, this is the funny, it's just weird, it's just a statistical anomaly. Their overall playoff record, now they've always been a very good overtime team, in franchise history is 22-14. It was 21-9 at one point, which was, I think, the best winning percentage in all the NHL franchises. They lost 5 in a row to get it to 21-14, and they won last night to get to 22-14. But to break it down by home and road, 12-6 on the road in overtime. Neutral site, the bubble alone, they had 8 overtime games that year in 2020, and they were 6-2. So as the home team, I think 5 of those 6 were as the home team. They actually have more playoff home team wins on other teams' eyes than they do in their own. But I don't count those as home. I know they say, well, you're the home team, you're the road team. Those are all neutral site games. So, like I said, 12-6 on the road in overtime. 6-2 neutral sites, all in the 2020 bubble. And then at home now, 4-6 in overtime. And I had been in the building for all of the prior 3. 1996, the first ever playoff game ever hosted by the Tampa Bay Lightning at the Trop. For you real ones out there who've been around since that long ago, remember it. If you remember, they made their first playoffs in 1996. The 8 seed against Big Bad Philly, the number 1 seed, thought we had no chance. First game, they won like 7-2. Then the Lightning won their first ever playoff game in Philadelphia in Game 2, also in overtime. Brian Bellows, I'll never forget it. My mom asleep on the couch while I sat there watching the game. Then Game 3, we come back on a Saturday afternoon. Fox, it was a matinee game, I believe, at the Trop. 30-something thousand people. I think it's still the largest playoff crowd ever. Or one of the games from that series is the largest playoff crowd ever. And that was when they were down in that game 4-3. And Brian Bellows, again, scored with the goalie pull with like a minute left. And then in overtime, Alexander Selivanov, if you remember Lightning radio guy, the original one, Larry Hirsch, who would say, "Yes, sir," all the time. And he was yelling, "Selivanov!" That was one. Then they won their only other, their next one, it was against the Islanders the Cup year, 2004, in the first round. They were up 3-1 in the series, game five here at Amalie Arena, then the St. Pete Times Forum or the Ice Palace, whatever it was in 2004. Marty St. Louis, top shelf to win the series in game five at home. 2015, on their way to the Stanley Cup Final, Nikita Kucherov against the Rangers in Game 3 in a 1-1 series. They go to overtime in a 5-5 game. High slot, the wrist shot. I was standing right in front of the Oregon for that one up top. I remember that. And then last night, that was it. Those are the four times they've won overtime games at home. I remember a lot of the six losses, too. And so now, like I said, 22-14 all-time in overtime. But, man, that was a good, just it just felt good. Even before they scored, it just felt – I love that feeling. Like, there's nothing like a hockey overtime in the playoffs. Like, 1 minute you're just kind of poking at the puck in the corner, you know, you're just messing around. And then, boop, game's over. And in this case, it would have been season over on top of that. So, like I said, I'm just brace yourself for anything Saturday. The Leafs could win 6-0. The Lightning could win 6-0. The Leafs could win 3-2. The Lightning could win 3-2. It could go to overtime. Somebody could score with the goalie pulled. It could be a 4-2 ho-hum, boring game. Any of those things are on the table. We have no idea. But I can tell you that Toronto, you know, is staring down some demons. And they're, you know, again, they've got their own stuff going on. But I've been surprised at how negative just reading Maple Leafs Twitter and things like that and hearing from Maple Leafs fans. Like, they are freaked out. Like, they don't think they can do it. And I've been the opposite. I've felt this whole way like they're the favorite in this series. If you're into just the stone-cold numbers, which we know don't matter that much, but as of right now that we're playing one more game, Game 7, Toronto, a 56-44 percent favorite, basically. They're on money puck, 56% likelihood of winning Game 7 to the Lightning's 44%, which, okay, whatever, you know. But just in case you're curious about that. But, yeah, they're freaked out. When I say they, I mean the people, not the players. I don't think the players are freaked out at all. Also saying here, another text, Toronto Maple Leafs fans are the Yankees fans of hockey. But they're not. The Toronto Maple Leafs should be the New York Yankees of hockey, but imagine if the Yankees weren't really that good and hadn't won a World Series since the 60s. That's unconscionable, right? Like, the Yankees are always good. They're always around. I think they're more like the Red Sox pre-2004 of the NHL more than they are the Yankees, except they are supposed to be the premier franchise and the premier media market of the country of origin of hockey. Of course, Toronto, you got this team, the Leafs, and it's a weird dynamic because, you know, just like the Yankees, yeah, they're supposed to have all the interest. They're supposed to have all the media. They're supposed to have all the financial backing. They want for nothing, right? The franchise has everything you could possibly need. Now, the NHL is a salary cap league, unlike baseball. But even over the years before it was, like, Toronto's supposed to be the team, along with Montreal, that, yeah, these guys are the big dogs always, and everybody else is always looking up for them as the little engine that could, trying to take them down. But it's been the opposite. Toronto hasn't, like I said, won a cup since 1967 and really hasn't even come all that close. I remember the first year of the Lightning, 92-93, they were in that, Campbell Conference Final with the Kings, which was a great series with Felix Potvin at goalie. And I remember, like, Doug Gilmore, all those guys. That was when I was first getting into hockey. I remember watching all those games and how exciting that whole thing was. The Lightning, it was their expansion year. And other than that, I mean, not much. And like I said, it's been 2004, since they have even won a playoff series. That's not the Yankees haven't had that problem. All right? So it's a little bit different. And I don't think of Toronto fans as insufferable. There are a lot of them. I mean, anytime you come to a Maple Leafs Lightning game here in town over the years, you're always going to see a lot of Toronto people because a lot of Canadian people move down here. A lot of people from the north move down here. But it's never been the same dynamic, right, as when we play Boston or when we play a New York team or when the Bucks play the Packers. You know that dynamic, or when the Rays play the Yankees or Red Sox, where these obnoxious people come in and take over your arena and act like they own the place and there's more of them and they're louder. I've never gotten that feeling with Toronto fans. They're usually very nice. Like, they're not, you know, it's a different dynamic. And so, yeah, I don't have that edge about it like maybe you would with some other teams, but, you know, this is the type of thing that breeds that. You get a couple of these playoff series like this, and then, you know, 5 years down the road playing them again, you look back on this stuff, and maybe there's more of that edge. But, like I said, all that history is going to be, like, pumped into the arena. Not just the energy of, hell, we're excited for Game 7, but all that nervous energy, too. And, you know, it's an old cliche, but it's true. If the Lightning can go out and set a tone early, and, of course, getting the first goal never hurts, you know, that's going to, you know, the collective sphincter of that arena is going to get real tight real quick. Pardon my, I guess you can say sphincter on Lightning power play, right? But anyway, that's what will happen, you know, if the Lightning can get out there early and set a tone. But anyway, you know, the Lightning have sphincters too. So it works both ways. I'm not sure if where this game is being played matters, but I'm almost okay with it being in Toronto, given that dynamic that may or may not present itself. So anyway, we'll take our final break. Email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. We'll be right back, final segment, as we roll on through. Game 6 is in the books. Game 7 is on the schedule. And we'll be right back here on Lightning Playoff Rewind on Lightning Power Play.
This is Lightning Playoff Rewind on Lightning Power Play on the iHeartRadio app.
That's into the red line. Little Giordano lost it. Sorelli. Sorelli the other way, shorthanded. Giordano defends. Sorelli across the blue line, right circle. We're going to knife in front. Shoot, score! Sorelli! Shorthanded goal! 2-0 Lightning! With 9:14 left in the second. A Spinarama goal!
Effort goal, an effort goal. Man, what an effort by Sorelli there.
I think their D did a good job of kind of angling me off, so I really didn't have a lane to the net, so I just figured just want to get one on net there, and that's where momentum took me, and just try to get it on net, and lucky enough to go in.
Tony's a guy that he just does everything right, and whether it's defensive zone face-off or big penalty kill or a block shot or a great play on the overtime goal. I mean, he's just a guy that's 100 miles an hour all the time, and that's contagious. And he's proved to, you know, obviously he comes up with some big moments in big game.
Welcome back to Lightning Playoff Rewind here on Lightning Power Play. Bobby Fenton with you. Jason Behringer running the show. And we are in the final segment as we get set for Saturday night, Game 7. It's tomorrow night in Toronto. 7 o'clock face-off, and I think it's safe to say all the eyes of Canada will be watching. I got a tweet over the commercial from New John. He says, Bobby, what will be interesting to see in Toronto is how fast the Maple Leafs boo birds come out if the Bolts take an early lead. Leafs fans can get pretty rowdy when they feel like history is repeating itself. And, you know, like I said, I think, I don't know if they'll boo. First of all, I hope we find out. So I hope the Lightning get an early lead. But remember, on TV it sounds bad. Like when you're watching a road game on TV and either your team scores and the crowd goes silent or gets upset, or the other side of the coin, if the Maple Leafs get out to a hot start and the place is buzzing and you feel like it's just a tidal wave of momentum, as everybody likes to say, fans can't come on the ice. And especially in hockey, there's glass there. Like the home ice thing is not that big of a deal. So it's a long game. No matter what happens in the first 10 minutes, it's not going to determine the game necessarily. It's important in any game. I mean, it could be a game in the bubble like we saw 2 years ago. Forget about fans. It's important in any game to get ahead early. There's a reason teams are – I didn't calculate – I know we did it the other night, but I haven't calculated the last 8 playoff games since our last show. But before the last 2 days, teams that scored first were 30-6 in these playoffs. And I know with at least Lightning last night, now it's 31-6, although they ended up giving up that lead. Point is, I mean, that's important no matter what. It's not as psychological as you think. But, yeah, you know, I mean, it's a big deal if you can do it. I got an email from Jim here. He says, I remember game six that you mentioned in Calgary like it was yesterday. It was actually 936 weeks ago. My gosh, I do feel old. I remember watching that by my mom's pool. We had the TV outside. I always put the TV outside for big games, which will be happening Saturday night as well. Gives it more of a stadium atmosphere. And I had a bunch of friends over to my mom's house. And I remember that. I remember jumping in the pool after St. Louis scored that goal. But anyway, he said, everyone said Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, was a guaranteed win for the Flames. Yeah, they all thought they were closing that out. Like, that was, they were going to win the cup at home. It's going to be great Saturday night. He says, hockey night in Canada tomorrow in Toronto will be crazy. I'll take the first round in the NHL versus the NBA anytime, he says. In the NBA this year, zero game sevens in the first round. Only four of the eight series had six games, and all four top seeds defeated the five through eight seeds. Very predictable. The NHL has at least three game sevens and possibly six. Have a good weekend, Jim in Jacksonville. Thanks for the email, Jim. Yeah, you can't. The NHL playoffs, it's odd. I mean, and my son, you know, I'm still teaching him things about these things. So, like, we were watching the NCAA tournament earlier in, you know, in March, and I was explaining to him the seeds and 1 versus 16, and he was like, well, how often does a 16 beat a 1? And I was actually like, hey, buddy, actually, the 1 seeds are 119-1 versus 16 seeds. He's like, whoa, are you kidding? I'm like, no, it's very rare, and even 15s over 2s. So then we get to hockey, and he's asking me about seeds again. And I was like, well, they technically have seeds in hockey, but seriously, you need to just not even – just completely ignore that. Especially now the way the NHL does it, which isn't even 1 through 8 anymore. So you got the 2-3, but it's only the division 2-3. It's not the overall 2-3. And I said, even like if you wanted to make it like it was really 1-8 this year, the Capitals are the 8 and the Panthers are the 1, technically, right? And they are playing each other. And I said, yeah, the Capitals, they should have been up 3-1 in this series. They were within a blink of being up 3-1. When they gave up the empty, or not the empty net goal, the extra attacker goal in Game 4, and then the Panthers eventually did get back and tie it 2-2. And then they blew another lead in Game 5, where they could have been up 3-2 in the series. Instead, the Panthers are up 3-2, and they'll play Game 6 tonight in that series. But I was like, honestly, buddy, it means completely nothing. Like, 8 seeds have gone to the Cup Final. The number 1 seed in the East has not even been to the Cup Final, like I told you a few shows ago. The last time the number 1 seed in the Eastern Conference actually won the conference, not even the Stanley Cup, just the conference, was the Lightning in 2004, who were seeded first overall that year, second in the entire league, but first in the East, and did go to the Stanley Cup final and, of course, win it against Calgary. The one seed hasn't even sniffed it since then. So, I mean, it's crazy, right? I mean, yeah, he's right. The NBA, you know, once you get to the second round, okay, it gets a little more interesting, but none of these teams jump up and pull off an upset usually. And that's just – it's just inherently the way the games are. I'm not bashing the NBA, but you can't beat the unpredictability of it. And some people like it more than others. You know, some people want the better team to be the better team. Like, they say, oh, well, what's the point of all this if it's just like shaking up a bunch of bingo balls in the hopper anyway, which is what it feels like a lot of times. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of – that's the way it is. Tell me it's not fun. Tell me you ain't going to be watching. And I don't just mean the Lightning. Like, tonight, I'm very interested in tonight's games to see what happens. We've got, like I said, that game six between the Panthers and Capitals, where the Panthers do have a chance to close it out, but, you know, are you sure? We got Rangers, all three game sixes, Rangers-Penguins. The Penguins actually were up 3-1, and the Rangers came back with a big effort the other night, so now it's in Pittsburgh tonight, and the Penguins have a chance to close it out. And you feel like, oh, well, when you got two chances, you got the upper hand, and you do. But you know how that is when you're the one on the road for game seven. You lose game six. Okay, we'll get him in game seven. Well, yeah, that's tough. Yeah, you got to go to Madison Square Garden for that. Lightning did it, I remember, in 2015, right? I think they were the first team to win a game seven as the road team in Madison Square Garden. Penguins will have to do that if they don't get that win tonight. And then the Flames and Stars, which if you want to have a throwback to, like, playoff hockey from recent years past, those games have been the Stars just muck it up for everybody. They play low scoring. They try and keep it, you know, these games have been 2-0, you know, 2-1, 1-0. That's more like what we've been used to. That's their best chance to do that. But again, that's another top seed in the West, the Flames, or top seed in that division at least, going to get up against a lower seeded Stars team, and we'll see if they can close it out in Dallas tonight. So those three games are tonight. Then, like I said, we've got three Game 7s on Saturday. The game times are the Bruins-Hurricanes at 4:30. After the Bruins got the big win last night to force Game 7, they won 5-2. Of course, you've got the Lightning Maple Leafs at 7. And then out west, the Kings and Oilers in Edmonton also going to a Game 7 at 10 o'clock. So six really fun hockey games. The Blues have closed out the Wild, so only the Blues and the Avalanche have advanced. Everything else is up for grabs. And honestly, of those other 12 teams still playing, any combination of six of those it wouldn't surprise anybody. Looking at the numbers from last night's game real quick before we go, the analytical stuff, the hardcore stuff, because it's always funny what your eyes tell you, and sometimes it's not the same thing as what the numbers tell you, and there's room for both. But on the deserve to win a meter, the team that should have won the game, quote-unquote, based on the way the game was played, has won all of the games in this series. The Lightning were at 54% compared to 46% for Toronto last night. So, you know, they did outplay the Maple Leafs overall. If you want to go to individual players, and again, expected goals percentage when you're on the ice kind of distills everything you did down to, you know, was your team better off or worse off when you were on the ice? And that plus minus doesn't do that. That's just a count statistic. This breaks down everything. So expected goal percentage in all situations last night, before we go to 5-on-5 only, who do you think, I'll give you a minute to kind of, or a second to kind of think about it. Who had the highest expected goals percentage individually of any Lightning player last night? And it was kind of by far. And he's done this before. Zach Bogosian, 75%. I mean, he was a monster last night. He's been, nobody's thinking, oh, Bogosian, you know. There was another game a couple games ago where he was like that. He played really well. He had a positive influence on the game. Stamkos was next at a little below 70%. Corey Perry was up there. Again, this is all situations. Palat and Kucherov and Cirelli all above 50%. Hedman, Point, and Hagel all above 50%. That's the cutoff. And then below 50% last night, Killorn, Chernak, McDonough, Foot, Maroon, Paul. And then getting down to Colton, Sergachev, Belimar. For the Maple Leafs, nobody was above 57%. That was Austin Matthews, but the Lightning had 5 players rate more highly than the highest-rated Toronto player. And then it all went downhill from there for Toronto. So that wasn't obviously a convincing win on the scoreboard. It went to overtime, after all. But the Lightning did pretty well outplay the Leafs. And that's, again, the entire game. If you just go to 5-on-5, because special teams mucks things up, you get the special teams units out there, you get more of a true representation sometimes at 5-on-5, so that's why they have it broken down both in 5-and-5 and all situations. At 5-on-5 last night only, again, Bogosian was the highest-rated Lightning player. But it's funny because Corey Perry, who was like the third-highest Lightning player in all situations, if you just take 5-on-5, was below 10%. That's atrocious. So he had a really big impact on special teams, but not as much. And same with Cirelli. Cirelli is below 25% here at 5-on-5, but obviously he had the goal, the shorthanded goal, and did some other good things too. So special teams was a big deal there. But still a highly rated game for Bogosian. Palat, Stamkos, Kucherov all rated highly, as well as Hagel. And Hagel did make a great play on the game-winning goal. Like John Cooper said in one of the sound clips we played there, Hagel comes in there down the left side with speed, has to hit the brakes, creates some separation, but then he still had to get that puck through to the middle somehow. Through Toronto defenders, he did it, and then Point helped finish it off. But it was all because of what Hagel did to start that playoff. So just a rant, we're out of time now. We got to go. Again, we'll be back on Sunday morning, one way or the other. I hope it's not our final show, but we have one more at least. We know that now. And I walked in just now to do the show an hour ago, peeked my head in like I always do before I came into the studio. The ice is still there. It's not going to be needed for the rest of this series. There's only one game left, and it's not here. But it's ready for the second round if we need to go ahead and get the Zamboni out and fire it up for next week. But let's not worry about that right now. Game 7 tomorrow night. It's all here for you on Lightning Power Play, so do not miss the action as we will have the full complement of things in the lineup pregame, postgame. Greg Lanelli, of course, Dave Mishkin and Espo, Jay Retcher, the post-game show, Bobby the Chief, the whole full staff is on board, all hands on deck for a Game 7 Saturday night. 7 o'clock is the puck drop in Toronto. In the meantime, thanks to Jason Behringer for driving the ship. Thanks to all of you for listening and all of you who emailed and tweeted and all those things and contributed to the show. I will be back on Sunday, and hopefully we're getting ready for Round 2. That remains to be seen. But either way, Game 7s, they're special. They don't come along very often, and they're a gift in a way to any hockey fan, and we get one on Saturday night. So enjoy it. Let's savor the fun and have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. I'll be back on Sunday morning, and wherever you are until then, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and let's go Lightning.